What's up, everyone? This is the one and only Nick Andre. And look, if you're a fan of everything that I do, whether it's writing, podcasting, or anything basketball content related, make sure to subscribe to my playback room. I will be live every Friday live streaming an NBA game. So I will be talking everything about the game itself alongside various topics revolving around basketball. So make sure to tune in, man. Make sure to subscribe. I will leave the link in the description. And let's get into the episode. Edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your one and only Nick Andre. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hope everybody's week has gotten off to a good start. I know that there's many out there that was excited about the college football national championship game. Honestly, I'll be real. I picked Michigan to win, and as I'm recording this right now, they are currently playing with Michigan winning. So let's see if I'm right by the time that this audio comes out. If I am, then you know it's going to be a great morning. But if not, you know, it is what it is. But one thing I'll say is that this is not a football podcast. This is a basketball podcast. So let's go ahead and dive into around the world of hoops. And the first topic that I want to talk about is a particular high school player that I've been really, really impressed with. She came across my timeline maybe about 5 or 6 days ago and watched some small clips of her highlights. And I said, you know what, let me go and take a deeper dive into this. Into this woman right here. And that is Miss Chloe Mann from Duncanville High School, 4-star point guard, class of 2024. She's the real deal. And for those who may not be into the high school scene, I will highly suggest that you go and watch her play. Because one thing that stands out to me when it comes to her is that she plays the game with a tremendous amount of passion. And I know that sounds crazy considering you know how good she is, but I don't know. It's like sometimes you can just tell with people's body language and just tell by their energy, you know, who really plays with a certain passion and who doesn't. And I can't really call out particular players that do play with it and play without it. But I don't know. You can just honestly, you can just tell. And Chloe Mann is definitely a player that's going to give everything she has. She's an elite point guard playmaker who can set others up for success. And on top of that, she's an elite three-level scorer, great shot mechanics, can score at all three levels, can get to her own beyond a three-point line, can get to her spots in the mid-range if she needs to. And on top of that, she is great at finding openings to attack the rim. And on top of that, defensively, she is no slouch. You know, one thing that stands out is that she has a really decent-sized wingspan. So with that being said, you know, she's able to get into those passing lanes, which ultimately leads to turnovers and then ultimately leads to transition baskets. So, and her resume speaks for itself. You know, she won an MVP of the Chicago Game Classic last year. She's led Duncanville to a district championship. So, you know, she has a lot of success, which allows her to be one of the best point guards in the country. And for those who don't know, she did recently commit to the University of Cincinnati a little over 2 months ago. So, and I know that Cincinnati is not a team that has a lot of success under their belt as a program. You know, they've only been to the NCAA tournament 4 times, but having a player like Chloe Mann could possibly change the trajectory of that program. And I know that Cincinnati has some notable players. A player that I love in particular from that team is Jillian Hayes, who is just a dog on both ends of the floor. But I don't know, a player like Chloe Mann who is able to run everything on offense and also be a great leader, I think that could possibly change things for the program. Maybe not in her first year with the program, but possibly, you know, over the next few years moving forward, man. So one thing I'll say, man, is that Chloe Mann is a player that people need to keep their eye on, especially as her game translates to the college level. And if you're not really into the high school scene like that, or you may want to know more about it, I would highly suggest going on YouTube and searching on Chloe Mann. You know, they got a few full games on YouTube, maybe not full games. There are some games that, you know, it's more so condensed, maybe to like 25, 30 minutes. But it, like, all those 30 minutes is worth it when coming to Chloe Mann. So I'm excited about watching more of her moving forward, and I can't wait to see what she does at Cincinnati. Let's switch gears, and let's talk about one of the more highly anticipated women's college basketball matchups over the weekend. And this was a showdown, and it literally went down to the last possession. And that is in the ACC with Virginia Tech against NC State. If you know me, then you know I'm always getting excited for conference play. I couldn't wait till January came around or late December, whatever, whenever conference play actually began. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they're more so excited about the SEC matchups or the Pac-12 matchups, which is deserving so, because there's a lot of great programs on each conference. But I've been telling people, man, don't sleep on the ACC, man. There's a lot of great teams, man, from NC State to Virginia Tech to North Carolina, Notre Dame, Florida State, you know, and the list just goes on and on and on. Duke as well. You know, I'm a big fan of Duke. I know that they're not ranked, but they're a really, really fun team to watch. But this matchup here between Virginia Tech and NC State was a showdown from start to finish. Obviously, these are two programs who have seen a lot of success in this conference. You know, NC State being multiple-time ACC champs, and then Virginia Tech being the reigning ACC champs with the reigning ACC Player of the Year and Elizabeth Kitley. So, you know, leading up to Sunday, I was amped for this matchup. I even woke up. I actually woke up late Sunday, and I was like, damn, I got to get ready to watch this game. And I was locked in from start to finish. The first half, to me, even though NC State had the lead for the most part, or actually I want to say they had the lead for the whole game until late in the fourth quarter, but even though NC State had the lead, I feel like they could have still elevated at another level to really take advantage and to really have control of the game. Because I feel like what it was that, you know, Virginia Tech, they weren't playing bad basketball, but they had yet to come alive. Because obviously Georgia Amor, she didn't play particularly well in the first half. And I think the world was still waiting on her to really show up. But also another crucial thing as well was Isaiah James going to foul trouble and missing most of the first half. So if they would have had her presence on the floor, who knows, maybe that lead could have been double digits or so, who knows. But, you know, it was a decent first half. And then NC State, you know, they had a nice third quarter where they went on a run. Shout out to Madison Hayes, man. She really shined to me for NC State when it came to offense. You know, being able to move well without the ball, being able to knock down shots, being able to get to her spots in the mid-range, being able to attack the basket. So she was just able to score in a multitude of ways, and she was their most consistent scorer on the afternoon for NC State. So without her contribution to offense, especially with Isaiah James being sidelined on the bench, you know, it was really crucial for NC State. So fourth quarter arrives. It looks like NC State may come out with the win. VT, you know, they had their moments, but it just seemed like they can never get in control of the game. But, you know, the fourth quarter happens and NC State was up, I want to say 60-49. So they were up by about 11 points with about maybe 7.5 to go in the game in the fourth quarter. Somehow, some way, Virginia Tech comes alive, and it was all led by Georgia Amor, who just caught fire out of nowhere, just being able to knock down 3-point shots, just being able to get to the rim. And then with that being said, they were able to climb their way back into the game. But even though VT was still climbing their way back into the game, I still felt like they still weren't playing at their best on both ends of the court. And I still felt like, you know, okay, NC State is allowing this run. They could still find a way to close this game. But unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. Liz Kelly had a late game layup to put them ahead 61-60. So they went on a 12-0 run, and NC State went about 7.5 minutes without scoring. So they went most of the fourth quarter without even scoring a basket, which is crazy. But also, I feel like they may have gotten caught in a moment, you know, watching VT go on that run. And then obviously the energy, obviously the team thriving off the energy of the crowd. I feel like NC State probably got caught too much in the moment in a way. And you just saw a lot of possessions offensively where they just settled for bad shots and they weren't really initiating a lot of ball movement. They weren't really finding ways to really get high quality shots. And I think that really came to bite them in the end. But luckily, after Kitley had made that basket to put him ahead, I don't know if it was the very next possession, but, you know, a few possessions later, Sanaya Rivers gets a nice attack to the basket going baseline to put them up 62-61. And now it comes down to this final play. And this was a really great drawn up play by VT. Georgia Amor sets a back screen under the basket for Liz Kelly. They throw the pass off the inbound, or the lob pass off the inbound. Liz ends up catching it and then knocks down and then banks in a shot from the corner. And then VT goes up by one. And then NC State goes for the half court Hail Mary heave, unfortunately misses, and then out of nowhere VT comes out with the win. Man, give credit to the team for making that comeback and just being able to shine. Liz Kittley had 27 and 12, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that are very critical of her. Let me just say this about Liz Kittley. I'm a fan of Liz Kittley. I love how she plays basketball. You know, she has a very unique style. She's more of a finesse player. You know, she's going to thrive off of, you know, scoring in the mid-range, turning on either shoulder to get to the basket or to, you know, to just be able to score. And I know that there's a lot of people, you know, they're not really big fans of her because, you know, she's a big and she's not really physical. It's almost like, in a way, like her and Angel Reese are total opposites, because one thing that I love Angel Reese and I love the energy that she plays with. But one of the things that Angel has to work on is, you know, having more of a post game, and then also being able to step out and knock down those mid-range shots. Not saying that she can't knock down those mid-range shots, because we've seen it on several occasions, but we don't see enough of it out of her. And Angel Reese's bread and butter has always been to play physical and attack the basket. You know, whether it's, you know, crashing the glass for offensive rebounds or just powering her way to the basket, she's always going to want to finish inside. Well, she loved that from her. But the question is, you know, how is that going to be able to be effective, you know, once she transitions to the WNBA? And I think the same thing to say with Liz Kittley as well, is that Liz is not really a player that's going to play inside. And I don't know if she's one that really thrives off physicality, but at the end of the day, you know, you can't really be mad at it, because what she's doing is working for VT. You know what I'm saying? It's led them to a lot of success. They got to the Final Four last year. And on top of that, they're one of the best teams in the conference this year. So obviously there's still more room to grow for Liz Kittley, you know, as her basketball journey progresses. But at the end of the day, you know, I can't say that I'm a person that does not like her, because I do love watching the way that, you know, the way that she's able to score. Now, do I think that she relies on, you know, the mid-range jumper and the turnaround jumper too much? Yes, because there's many times where, you know, it looks like she'll be intimidated by the physicality, but still take a bad quality shot, like a bad follow-up shot. And I wish that she could find ways where she could take some higher quality shots, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be a one-dimensional player on the court, even though she is skilled. But I just wish that she added more to her arsenal offensively. But besides that, I love Liz. You know, I've always been a fan of Liz, you know, since she got to VT, man. And, you know, I'm excited to see what else she has moving forward, man. But once again, give credit to VT on the win. I think for NC State, you know, this was another bad fourth quarter, to say the least, because even in that Florida State game, they had control for most of that fourth quarter. But then obviously you see Florida State being able to climb back and then, of course, force overtime. And I'll be real, I was even saying it as I was watching the game. I was like, man, like if Florida State would have not allowed this game to go to overtime, they probably would have won this game. But I think giving NC State an extra 5 minutes allowed them to go back and adjust. And that was part of the reason why they won the game. And you could tell this was another indication of that in Sunday's matchup against VT, you know, where they did have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and they did end up losing it. So hopefully that's something that they can look back upon and figure out ways how to close games, man. But besides that, you know, this is their first loss of the year. I can't remember exactly if they dropped or not, you know, in AP rankings. But either way, man, you know, this team is going to be fine, man. You know, this is a great team on both ends of the floor. You know, they've shown their fight and they've shown their tenacity. So even though this is a bad loss for them, man, I have no doubt that they'll be able to bounce back in the next matchup. Let's switch gears once again, man. I want to talk about this player because, man, I am so excited about this guy right here, man. For those who may not understand about the Overtime Elite, I would definitely highly suggest to please get in tune, man. You know, it's a lot of young up-and-coming prospects out there who are really being able to showcase their talent at a high level and just being able to put their whole offense on full display, man. You know, it's very highly competitive basketball. These guys play with a certain passion. You know, they want to win, but it's also not just about winning. They want to showcase that they are some of the best players in the country, man. And, you know, I want to talk about a particular player from the Young Dreamers, who is one of the best teams in the league. And I got to talk about Eli Ellis, man, who had a 50-piece this past weekend. His game, he is nice, man. And I love his play style, man. You know, he's super acrobatic when he's able to get to the basket. You know, he can finish with reverse layups. He can finish in multiple other ways. And on top of that, you know, he's super confident in this game. You know, he has a great shot mechanics on his 3-point shot, and he's also able to get to the mid-range as well. And on top of that, you know, he's not afraid to split that double team as well. But he is really, really impressive to watch, man. And then, of course, you know, there's other guys in the overtime elite league that people need to be in tune with, man. But Eli Ellis definitely stole the show. I believe it was Saturday night, I want to say. I'm not 100% sure, but I just know that he definitely shined over the weekend, man, having a 50 ball. I'll have to go back and see if that is the most so far in overtime elite history. But just be able to do that as a young prospect, you know, that's just really, really big, man. So people need to, you know, continue to keep their eye on Eli Ellis, man, and just keep their eye on the overtime elite as a whole, man. Like I said, there's a lot of great talent out there, man. So make sure to please stay in tune with what's going on over there. And last but not least, let's dive into this last topic, man. We got to go over to the G League side. You guys know that I always got to highlight what's going on in the G League. By the way, thank you guys for everybody who loved that episode of the recap of the Winter Showcase. You know, it was a dope showcase as a whole, dope tournament, man. For those who may have not watched it, please make sure to go back and watch it. And please make sure to go back and listen to the episode in case you have not. But the regular G League season has begun as of recent. And I got to talk about this particular player because he shined. So we're going to talk about another 50 piece, and that is from Mr. Alondes, Man Williams, who had 55 points. But give credit to both him and Cole Swider as well. They both combined for 92 points in a huge comeback win over the Salt Lake City Stars. I had the luxury of going back to watch this game, and the Sky Force was down big. They were down 17-0 to begin the game. And it really looked like they were about to run away with it. But give credit to Man for just staying at attack mode. You know, he had many, many opportunities where he attacked the rim, obviously showing the range from three-point land. And with just being able to carry over that momentum, you know, it really allowed them to get back into the game. I mean, even in the third quarter, they were still down 20, but they were still able to find their way to get back into the game. And thanks to Man, the team was just able to somehow pull away. You know, he ended up taking over in the fourth quarter. And I think what it was is that, you know, I love seeing the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter because he wanted to take over. You know, he understood that he was rolling. He understood that he was a rhythm. And even the coaching staff saw that as well. So you got to keep the ball in the best player's hands. And that was the way that they were able to come back out there with the win. They improved now to 6-0 on the season, which is the best record out in the Western Conference in the G League. So make sure to tune into that team and make sure to check out Man, you know, because I think that he's a guy, you know, once he gets that opportunity, he could definitely be valuable to an NBA roster. So, you know, he had a really, really shiny night, man. You know, it's probably one of the bigger highlights of the G League season thus far. But that is going to wrap up this episode. Appreciate you guys for always listening in, man. You know, I know that people love these around the world segments, so I'm going to continue to give it to you guys. Make sure to follow the show on X and Twitter, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Love the TGB Ball. Follow myself and Nick Andre ATR. And please subscribe anywhere you listen, from Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. And make sure to give 5-star reviews. Make sure to leave feedback. You know, I'm always appreciative of everything, man. Thank you guys once again. And until next time, you guys, deuces.